He's an amazing brother. Anyway, we're continuing our trek through the desert in the book of Genesis, following Abraham. We're in chapter 15 tonight, so if you turn there to chapter 15. And Lord willing, we'll get through the whole chapter tonight. And I'll start reading at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto them all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Cabanites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. In verse 1, that's a lot of ites right there, isn't it? In the end of the chapter. But in verse 1, we see that the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision, in verse 1. And this was the method that God chose to reveal spiritual truth to Abram. You know, Abram couldn't go down to the local Hebrew bookstore and buy a copy of the Old Testament because nothing was written down yet. And God was not revealing spiritual truth through the written word. But he did through visions and dreams and certainly personal appearances, special appearances to various people in the Old Testament. But the first thing that God revealed to Abraham was, Fear not. Abram, don't be afraid. I am thy shield. That phrase, I am, is reminiscent, I think, of the Lord Jesus Christ. You recall in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Perhaps this is what he was referring to here in Genesis 15, although we don't know that for certain. But the Lord Jesus also said, Before Abraham was, I am. And you recall that God revealed to Moses in the burning bush, he revealed himself as the I am, the great I am, the self-existent God. And he also said in verse 1 that I am thy shield. In other words, the Lord is going to be Abram's protector. He's going to fight for him. And we see that also that the Lord God is not only Abram's shield, but he is his exceeding great reward. God himself will be Abraham's reward. So we see here that that God is revealing himself to Abraham once again in Genesis 15. He has before this, of course. And we see that God is going to reaffirm and reestablish that covenant that he had made with Abraham in chapter 12. In verse 2, Abram said to the Lord, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless?" And Abraham was recounting to the Lord, as if the Lord didn't know already, that Abram had no heir in his family. There was no descendants, no children that he could call his own. And in verse 4, the Lord said, the word of the Lord came unto him again, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." That is, Abram is going to have an heir, and it will be this heir will be born from Abram and Sarah, his wife. And in order to confirm that, the Lord bought Abram out in verse 5. He bought him out apparently at night and said to Abram, "Look now toward heaven and tell," or that is, "count the stars, if thou be able to number them, and he said unto him, "So shall thy seed," or thy descendants, "be." This is an indication that Abraham's descendants will be too numerous to count. The stars of the heaven. And the Lord used the dust of the earth to describe the number of Abraham's descendants. And we see that the Lord is trying to reaffirm Abram's faith. And he did it in previous chapters, and he's doing that in chapter 15. And that brings us to verse 6. Probably verse 6 is probably one of the most wonderful verses in all of Scripture. It says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." This verse is so wonderful, because it expresses that wonderful doctrine of the New Testament, justification by faith. Justification by faith. And it's spoken of by the Apostle Paul. Keep your place in Genesis and turn to Romans chapter 4 in the New Testament. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Well, let's look at verse 2 first. "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Verse 9 says, "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness." That word "reckoned" means imputed to Abraham. Years ago, I think I've told you all this a couple times before. I was reading one of the old Awana handbooks. And they have definitions of words in there to help the kids understand the scripture verses and all that. And it came to that word justification. And the definition they had was, God declares a guilty sinner not guilty. Isn't that great? Or God declares a guilty sinner righteous before him. You know, we have nothing, you know, the day, the very second, the minute that you and I placed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, God declared us at that very second righteous before him. He declared us not guilty of our sins, that we won't have to pay the penalty of our sins. Praise God. What a beloved and wonderful doctrine that is in the Word of God. And we see that Abraham was the progenitor, or he was one of the first that's been revealed in Scripture to us of that wonderful justification by faith, that God declares a guilty sinner not guilty. And we can all rejoice in that. The Apostle Paul mentions that in Galatians also. And he also mentioned in the book of James. James writes in his epistle in a similar way. And if you would like to explore that in more detail, I suggest you go to Galatians and James and read those passages that speak of the doctrine of justification by faith. But in verse 7, Abram said, he said to the Lord, in verse 7, I am the Lord that bought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees and gave this land to inherit it. Again, the Lord was reaffirming and reestablishing and at the same time encouraging Abraham with his promises, with God's promises. And you notice in the book of Genesis, as we go along and we study about the life of Abraham, that God goes over these things over and over. He repeats them over and over and over to Abraham. He'll do the same for us. If there's spiritual truth that God wants you and me to know, He'll make sure that we go, that it'll be revealed to us over and over and over again. And we see that in verse 8, that Abram asked the question of the Lord. He said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit the land? That I shall inherit it. How shall I know that I will inherit the land and these great promises? Well, you know, I was thinking about verse 8, and I thought, well, you know, God could have scolded Abraham at this point. He could have rebuked Abram. God could have said, well, Abraham, what's the matter with you? Where's your faith at, buddy? Don't you believe me? I mean, I keep going over this stuff with you all the time. And, you know, God is not like that. God graciously ascended to Abram in the next verses. And we'll see that in verse 9. The Lord told Abram in verse 9, take five animals. These are clean animals used for sacrifice. That can be used, that God would accept as a sacrifice. A heifer, a female goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. And in verse 10, we see that Abram took these animals, he divided them, he killed them, he divided them up and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds he divided he not. Abram killed these animals, cut them in two, and laid each piece on the ground opposite the other. And then, and you may be wondering, what in the world is going on here? Well, I'll explain that in a minute. But in verse 12, we see that the Lord says in verse 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Now, that phrase, deep sleep, is interesting. It's used earlier in the book of Genesis, where it says that the Lord caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And you recall that God did some divine surgery, used one of Adam's ribs to form Eve and give him a helpmeet. That phrase is also used in the book of Jonah, where you recall that Jonah was in the inside of the boat, of the ship, in a deep sleep. And we see that that the Lord caused Abram to fall into a deep sleep. I was wondering, well, what's going on here? Why did God cause this deep sleep to fall upon Abram? But before we answer that question, let's go back up to these animals that Abram killed and that he cut up and divided. In the ancient world, there was a custom in those days that if two people made a covenant with each other, they would take these divided animal carcasses, lay them out on the ground like Abram did, and the two parties to the covenant will pass through the animal pieces. And what that meant was that the two parties to the covenant agreed and confirmed the covenant together. And this is what God is doing for Abraham. He is confirming to Abraham his covenant. Now, you may think that's kind of strange. That's weird for us. That's a strange custom. We don't do that here in the United States of America in 2010. I almost said 2011 there, but it's 2010. You know, it's a weird custom. I think today, if we want to have a covenant or a promise between two people, we put it down on a piece of paper and we sign our names to it. You know, that's what we do here in this age. But in Abram's day, this was customary when two people performed or wanted to perform a covenant with one another. And getting back to the question in verse 12 about why deep sleep fell upon Abram, you know, part of the problem here, or part of the thing here that I think God wants to do to Abraham is to not only reaffirm and confirm that wonderful covenant he made with him, but God wanted to kind of put Abraham out of the way a little bit. The reason I say that is because the Lord wanted to confirm to Abraham the covenant and wanted Abraham to know that the covenant was not based upon Abraham's fulfillment of it. So he put him to sleep. The covenant that God made with Abraham is totally and completely dependent upon God himself to fulfill it. The Lord himself will fulfill the covenant, not Abraham. And we see later on in the next chapter that Abraham failed miserably in that. We'll discuss that the next time. But we see here that the Lord was trying to reaffirm to Abram. And in all three of those cases, in Adam and Jonah and Abraham, I think one of the things you notice there is that God is doing something in their lives. In Adam's case, he's providing a helpmeet for him. In Jonah's case, it was he was asleep right before the sailors threw him into the ocean. He was swallowed up by the great fish. And in this particular case, God is reaffirming to Abraham his covenant. So we see that the Lord wanted Abraham to be sure and to make sure that he had a solid foundation of placing his faith in the Lord God. And as we move on to verses 13 through 16, now verses 13 through 16 make some prophetic statements are made by the Lord to Abraham. And in verse 13, the Lord is giving Abram a glimpse into the future about what's going to happen to his descendants. You know, Abraham, you're going to have descendants. They're going to be as numerous as the stars of the sky. They're going to be as numerous as the dust on the earth. But here's what's going to happen in the future to your descendants. He says, first of all, in verse 13, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Now, this is clearly a reference to the children of Israel being in Egypt. And we see also in verse 13, that and shall serve them. That is, the children of Israel will be slaves of the Egyptians. And we know that. And it says at the end of verse 13, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, we also understand that this is probably a round figure, 400, that's being used here. Because the children of Israel were in Egypt, I believe, 430 years, I think. But we're using round numbers in verse 13. But God is telling Abraham, your descendants in the future, here's what's going to happen to them after you die. And in verse 14, it said, and also that nation whom shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. You know, the Lord judged the nation of Egypt certainly with those plagues, didn't he? He certainly made the Red Sea part and the sea fall back on the Egyptian chariots. And we see that the Lord released Israel from bondage. And it says in the scriptures that the Israelites plundered the Egyptians. That is, the Egyptians voluntarily gave them articles of silver and gold and precious jewels. And thereby the nation of Israel plundered the Egyptians. And in verse 15, the Lord reveals something else to Abraham. This is a personal prophetic statement for Abraham. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And Abram died in a good old age. He was 175 years old when he died to go to be with the Lord. What a fascinating and wonderful life he led. And in verse 16, we read that but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Even though Abraham's descendants will be slaves in a strange land, they will again come to the land of Canaan someday. That's what the Lord is telling Abram here. And you mentioned the iniquity of the Amorites. Now, the Amorites were very closely related to the Canaanites. They were a very evil, wicked, morally degenerate people. And the Lord was going to deal severely with them because of their great hatred that the Amorites had for the nation of Israel. And we see in 1 Kings that King Solomon had the Amorites pay tribute to him. They were almost slaves to the nation of Israel at that time. So we see as we go along that in verses 13 through 17, that the Lord is revealing some prophetic truth to Abram. And in verse 17 it says, "And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces." The smoking furnace and the burning lamp are symbols of the covenant that God made with Abraham. You recall that in the ancient world that the two parties had to pass between the animal carcasses. But we see here that the Lord is telling Abraham that God himself is responsible for fulfilling the covenant he made with Abraham. It was not, and it never was, Abraham's responsibility to fulfill that covenant, brothers and sisters in Christ. That was God's responsibility. When God makes a promise to you and me in his word, he will fulfill that promise. If we claim that promise for ourselves, God himself will fulfill it. He did it with Abraham. He'll do it for us. And we see in verse 18 that the Lord said, "In the same day that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Now, I was looking at that verse, and I got a map out, and I looked at that map. I saw that the river of Egypt is bordering Egypt, and it includes the Sinai Peninsula on the map. It also includes the nation of Israel, or the land of Canaan is in there. But, you know, the Euphrates River, if you look on a map of the Euphrates River, you'll see that it covers a vast area. It covers part of, or the land between Israel and the Euphrates River includes part of modern day Syria. It includes part of modern day Lebanon. It includes Jordan. It includes Iraq. Now, if you go to those countries and tell them, "Hey, listen, you know, you people living in Israel's land, you know, God gave it to them. He didn't give it to you people. Y'all need to pack your bags up." And of course, you'll probably be arrested and put in prison or shot or something like that. I don't know. But brothers and sisters in Christ, there's one thing that we can understand that God will perform and he will do. Someday, not in our lifetime, but someday, God will give that land that he is explaining to Abraham in verse 18. He will give that land to the children of Israel. They will claim it for their own at a future date. That day probably, most likely, will be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again to set up his kingdom and to rule in person in Jerusalem on earth for 1,000 years. At that time, Israel will have that land. It will be theirs, and nobody will be able to take it away from them. The people who are living there now are interlopers. They are temporary residents. And we may look at the promises of God, and we may look at verse 18 or in verse 18 and say, "Well, you know, how can this be? All that land be?" Well, you know, this is the promise and that God made Abraham. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 15. This great promise that God made Abraham. It goes back there to where the Lord explained to Abraham that land someday, Abraham, is going to be your descendants. It'll belong to you. And I dare say that in the coming day, Abraham himself will rejoice. He will rejoice that God fulfilled his promises. He always will. He always does. He will fulfill His promises for Abraham. He will fulfill His promises for you and me. Praise God. We'll pick it up there in chapter 16 the next time.